can't wait to get into this point. And a lot of the things you shared are exactly what I'm talking about, because it has to do with one thing and one thing that's really true, which is called our belief systems. And Peter Hirsch, I'm going to continue along that book that I brought up a couple weeks ago, which was Living with Passion, 10 Simple Secrets That Guarantee Your Success. And it's written by Peter Hirsch. Somebody actually sent me an email and said, Mary Jo, it's out of print, so sorry if you can't get access to the book. You might try to go to the used book area and find it there, because that's what we do. We buy most of our books used today. Anyway, so this first chapter we talked about was challenges, and that was already downloadable on the Manatrain website if you want to hear that talk and get that outline. The second chapter is surrounding beliefs. And let's just dig into it and talk about what is belief. Let's kick off with that. What is a belief? Belief is just a feeling of certainty that you have around something. When we believe in something, we really believe something's possible. That's what it's about. It's like, if I believe, then I believe it's possible. That's what we say to ourselves. And I went back to even looking at some scripture, and of course we look at Hebrews 11:1, and belief is faith. That's what faith is. Faith is belief. That's what faith is. We believe, we have faith. That's belief. And it says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's what it's about, people. It's about belief. It's about faith. It's about having a belief in something. If we can step up and we can believe in Jesus Christ, in the Lord, and all these great things that we believe in spiritually, what is holding us back in believing in ourselves? Like, all of a sudden we can believe in that because that's part of Bible and Scripture and we were raised in it, but all of a sudden when it comes to believing in myself, I don't have that belief system. What's going on here? Where you have this double standard we're applying, because we can't believe if we don't see it. We can't believe if we don't have all the mechanisms. We can't believe if we don't have a plan that's going to make it happen. We go into this like whole different analysis around our lives and what our performance is going to be. So critical for us to step into the word belief around ourselves too. You believe in yourself. That's critical. And in fact, Claude Bristol has a great quote out there. He says, "What you believe yourself to be, you are." And that's by Claude Bristol. What you believe yourself to be, you are. An acronym to belief is what? Is doubt. In fact, doubt paints a horrible picture for us in our lives. When we start having doubt, I think somebody's on a cell phone and that's causing the echo. So if you could star six or be on land phone, thank you. If you bring doubt in your life, doubt is like, his analogy he draws in the book is he says, doubt is like black paint. When you take doubt, black paint, and you drop a little bit of black paint, what if you just drop one drop of black paint in a pile of white paint? What happens to the entire bucket of white paint? It changes exactly. You notice the impact of one little bit of doubt, how it impacts the whole belief system. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. We allow the seepage of doubts to come into our head, and it discolors our entire belief system. It doesn't have just a little bit impact. It impacts everything. So, and what does it take to smudge out black paint? It takes a lot of white paint, doesn't it? You have to use a ton of white paint over black. If you have a black spot that's dried, you got to use a lot of white. You might have to do two or three layers of white just to make sure you don't have that dark hue that comes through. Well, the same thing's true, great analogy, with what goes on in our brains. In order to get rid of and dispel our doubts, we need to keep rebuilding and refurbishing all the positive beliefs. We have to keep loading ourselves with positive affirmations and dwell on the positives to overcome those doubts. And there's a great book out there. Of course, I've used it many times in our calls. It's As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. I just think everybody ought to get that because it really gets to the heart and core. It's, as we believe, as we think, that's who we are. And that's truly a biblical principle too. So let's look at belief from another angle. So that's what belief is. Is belief truth? That's a great question. Some of us get caught up in it. We say, yeah, our beliefs are true. Well, I'm going to suggest to you, belief is not true. It's choices that you've made around specific things for your life. That's not truth. You know, I might believe one thing. You know, we can talk about politics, and you know that it's not true. You can find two people on opposite ends of the political spectrum. Can both of those people have beliefs and neither of them be wrong? Correct. Because beliefs are just something that we bring into our lives, that we tie our life to, that we have opinions about, that we believe as a support system for us. They aren't necessarily truths. Does that make some sense to you? Think about that from a perspective, because you've got to get that fact down. Belief is not truth. It's something we choose to put implant in ourselves. We choose Christianity. We might say it's truth to us. Absolutely. We believe it's truth for everybody, and that's why we will go out and promote it at every opportunity and evangelize, because we believe it's truth. But the concept of truth being truth, you have to look back and say, I might believe that the best way to do network marketing is ABC. That might be my belief, but that's not truth. That's just my belief about how to do network marketing. There was somebody else, the Havners, or, you know, Jeff Allen, or the Kramers. Everybody has a different belief system around what's the best approach to network marketing, okay? So beliefs are your selection. It's your selection, what you choose for you inside of you. And recognize that we feed our brain or our subconscious all those beliefs. We actually choose them and feed them into ourselves. That's how our belief systems are formulated. A lot of them come out of our upbringing. A lot of them we probably didn't even choose necessarily. They were inflicted upon us as children. Many of them are, because that's how we were raised. You can have different things, like whether you can or can't do something. If a parent raised you under very restrictive circumstances and kept saying, oh, don't do that, you will never be that, or you kept being told that you could never do something in your life. Or let's talk about what we heard today. We heard Jan talk about, Jan, you don't mind using you as an example, talking about growing up in a family where her father honored her mother for staying at home, and all of a sudden there's this thing going on in her life about that's the only way she can be honored in a family life. So she had this huge belief system. It wasn't truth, was it, people? It wasn't truth. It was just how she was raised that instilled that belief system in her. And until she got permission to walk away from that home, that she could be something else other than be just a mom, that was the only honoring thing because that's how she was raised. Until she got that she can choose differently. I can choose that that's not true. I can choose a different belief system. I can choose that I can go out and be a millionaire and still be immensely honored as a mom. It's not an either or situation. And wow, what a breakthrough that was. So, you know, but that was a belief that she found that she had from her childhood. It was about her mom and her dad, the relationship they had, and it was instilled in her. Did she choose it? Absolutely not. It was chosen for her because it was her environment, and that's how a lot of our belief systems are structured, from our historical environment. But remember, beliefs are extremely powerful. As Jan will tell you, it froze her, and she couldn't get over that fact. It rang a bell with her when I talked about belief systems, about either or. I can either be a good mom or I can be a Manitech leader, but I can't do both. You know, that's such a faulty belief, but, you know, you can hear it, but making the choice to choose differently is about understanding first that you're living that limitation, and then the awareness around it, and then choosing a different belief. And my favorite quote, too, out there that I love to see, I always pass it around on emails, too, with people, is believe you can or believe you can't, you're always going to be right. And that is truly how powerful beliefs are. So let's look at beliefs shaping your destiny, because belief systems do. You are what you think, clearly, biblical principle, clearly, James Allen. Your beliefs shapes your destiny. Your beliefs shape your actions, and that's why it shapes your destiny, because what you believe in is basically how you act out your life. You carry out your life based on your inherent belief system. And it's going to be, does it mean positive? Yeah, absolutely. Does it also encompass negative? Absolutely. Doesn't matter. Your negative beliefs will carry out negative actions, your positive beliefs, positive actions. So as you believe you are, so you want to choose positive. You want to choose to take direct results and have positive impact in your life, not negative. So your beliefs shape your actions create your results, and then the circumstances of your life, which is what is attributed to how you formulate or how you finish out your legacy or your destiny. Some people think that results create our feelings. This is a great point, people. Understand this. Some people think that your results create your feelings. In other words, I can get people to look at Mary Jo and say, hey, Mary Jo, the reason you're happy all the time is because you have a lot of success in your life, because you have this. And I'm going to ask you one simple question. Do you think I was happy in my life before I had any success in my life? What do you think, people? Yeah. Do you think I chose happiness? Do you think I chose pleasantness? Do you think I chose to love on people? even when I had 2 pennies in my pocket, even before. Of course. You choose into feelings. You choose into feelings, and that's what creates the results. Does that make some sense to you? So those of you who may have a bad environment or bad circumstances today, it's about not about that's why you can't be happy or you can't have pleasant feelings or you can't feel successful in your life. You choose to feel great no matter what the circumstances are, and you will create greatness in your life. We get so confused. Some of us say, well, I'll be really happy when I finally get the presidential. Oh my gosh, why are you holding back? I'll be able to be joyful and thankful to God when I get to such an XYZ. Excuse me. Thankful and gratefulness is something you need to have right now, this moment. Don't go another second in your life without totally captivating those feelings and living and breathing them every moment. So get out of the fact that you're believing, and get out of that belief system around the only way I can feel great is if I create great results. Wrong. Now you're letting your circumstances control your emotions, and that is giving up. That's forfeiting control. That's totally forfeiting. So believe today the results today, feel great today as if the results are already present, and that's what you're going to create. Terrific. Peter Hirsch, also in the same section of the chapter, he talked about, he says, I've researched high and low. I've interviewed thousands of people who are top achievers in all areas of life. And he says the number one belief that these people have is action supersedes everything. Action supersedes everything. So just look at that and say, how does that apply in my life? And see if that helps move you into taking some more action. Action supersedes everything. That's his comment. Commonality among all of the most successful people and high achievers he's come across in his life in all of his interviews. Okay, now let's look at our sets of beliefs. Of course, there's 2 different types of beliefs, so we'll go in and analyze those. Empowering and limiting. Remember, this is the second great secret to your success, that you make up your beliefs. You choose them. They're chosen by you. That's the second secret of success. Last one we talked about was challenges. This one we're talking about you choosing your beliefs. So if you're going to choose beliefs, are you going to choose empowering beliefs or are you going to choose limiting beliefs? Totally your choice. Empowering beliefs are beliefs that come from total possibility, what you can create in life. And here I wrote up, and as did Hirsch in his book too, he talked about Viktor Frankl. How many of you have read the book Man's Search for Meaning? Anyone? What did you think about it, Jim? Yeah, very inspiring, isn't it? It's a story about a man who is where? In a concentration camp? And he what kind of circumstances did he have, Jim? Hopeless situation, totally. In fact, worse than anyone could even fathom on this phone call today. You think you have bad? Go read this book by Viktor Frankl. And he had this incredible, I mean, it brutalized, and knowing that his fellow family members are being killed, and friends and relatives, because he was a Jewish guy in the Holocaust, in the concentration camp, and all this pain and agony in this incredibly negative situation. And what was his attitude, Jim? He'll prevail. He never gave up, did he? He was tremendously optimistic. He took a positive view of life, and he loved life, even as it existed for him. So it really stands up and says to you, always come from possibility. Always enjoy your life. Choose positive. No matter what the environment or circumstances are, it's your choice. Your choice is what creates your destiny, and that's the important thing to understand. You can choose differently, and it's purely your choice. This also gives me the impression, when you look at the word try, I always tell people when they say, you know, there's certain words I just get rid of out of the dictionary, and try is one of those words. I think it's a ridiculous word because it's ludicrous. You don't try things. When you use the word try, all you're doing is saying, I don't believe that I can. Because if you believed you could, then you wouldn't use the word try. You'd say, I will. Like, I'm going to try to win the Alaskan cruise. You wouldn't use that word if you believed. Does that make does everybody understand that? If you believed you were going to win the Alaskan trip, you would say, I am going to win the Alaskan trip. But by using the word try, you're already telling me that there's a crack in your belief system. And therein lies the problem with it. The word try is the biggest escape. It's a biggest escape in anything in the world, because people can use this excuse why they didn't accomplish something. It gives you the out. Well, if you're already thinking about needing an out because you use the word try, guess what? If you believe you can't, you won't. Because you're always going to be right. If you believe you can, you will. So get rid of the word try and just start living in that belief system instead of tainting it, instead of putting the doubt, instead of adding the black paint into the white bucket. Get rid of the black paint. Quit this try language and just say, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. And I have no problem. People say to me, Mary Jo, I'm not going to win the Alaskan cruise. Great. You made a choice not to do it. But you can choose into it or you can choose out of it. It's just a choice. But the try stuff is just incredible. Because I don't believe, if somebody said, I'm going to try to win the Alaskan cruise, I'm going to look at them and say, are you going to do it or not? Because a try, you're going to always at the end, if you don't accomplish it, you're going to say, well, it just didn't work for me, but I tried. Well, how hard did you try? Could have you, there's not anyone at the end of the cruise program that can't say, well, do you think you could have won it if you would have taken different action? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, Mary Jo, I could have. And I said, so you chose not to win the trip. Is that what you're telling me? Do you get the difference? You're trying to go victim around stuff instead of saying, I chose not to win it. You either choose to win it or chose not to win it. And that's wherein lies that issue around the word try. It's just, it's almost like victim language to me. It's like, I'm going to try, but I'll be willing to go victim to anything that comes out of my life. You know? No. Either do it or don't do it. It's like Yoda. Remember this thing in the Star Wars trilogy. He says, Luke, you either do it or you do not. There is no try. Do you guys remember that quote from Yoda? It's a great quote. And so perceptive and such a truism. When we believe, we create endless possibilities, even when we have limited information. So it's not that we need to know everything. Some people live in this world where they have to know everything, otherwise they can't create things. That's a problem. So you want to believe, and you create endless possibilities for your life. And that's what empowering beliefs are about, empowering beliefs. So feed that brain, feed that subconscious, empowering beliefs about yourself, about the world, about what can happen, instead of disempowering. So we look at empowering. Those are empowering beliefs, limiting beliefs. They tend not to have been chosen. We talked about that earlier. Events in our lives like Jan's experience, which was so appropriate for the call today. You know, all these things. We're stuck in our perceived probabilities. And that's what we get stuck in. We get stuck in them. And it's like glue. It's like sand. I mean, we just like, it's like sticky, you know, flypaper. That's how stuck we get in it. And some of these that come up in Manatech that I see, I just threw these down. Of course, this didn't come out of the book. I was just giving you an idea of what I hear in people's belief system. We talk about, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I do not have enough information. I need to know it all. I cannot be a good network marketer and be a good mom. Here's the either-or scenario we talked about today. I could not make it before and will not now. In other words, maybe you're another network marketing company. Okay? You get some of these. Does anyone on the call today want to share with me what is limiting in their life? Give me some beliefs that you might carry right now that you see are limiting in your life. Come on, people. Dig deep inside of you. Who's got a limiting belief? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so what's your limiting belief? Yeah, got it. That it's too expensive. Now, do you want me to work with her right now, people, or you want to keep going? Too expensive. So now if you looked at it, and if you looked at every one of these people's budgets, do you think there's a way that people can come up with $100 a month? Got it. So you're talking about people that want $500 a month? $200 or $300 a month? Oh, now we're starting to get to the core of the problem. Like, what kind of things are complicating that issue? They're okay. So probably some of these people aren't tithing either, right? Poor stewardship. What are they? What other things? They're using their money for other things. Yeah, but if they really came to the reality check around this is what it costs me to go back in the hospital again, and this is a mechanism I'm using not to go back in. What's the difference? You see what I'm saying? Look at where their bills came from. Let's start analyzing, where did my bills come from? My bills came from hospitalization where I had copays that were off the charts. Well, what are you doing about avoiding that? If you don't take action today to avoid that in the future, then you're going to never get out of that trap. Are you following me? So, absolutely. So, work with people to get them to understand their cycle that they're stuck in. Because right now, if they don't take the Manatech products, they will never get out from under the weight they're under, because they're going to have another hospitalization 6 months to a year, another one another 6 months to... You following me? They're not caring for their health. If they don't get into prevention and avoidance tactics with the medical industrial complex, they're just going to augment the current problem they have by multiple returns. Make sense? There you go. Does that make some sense to you? Because we're trying to just argue. It's not an issue about it's too expensive, people. Does everybody understand it? It's not an issue that it's too expensive. It's something else that's underlying that's not correct in their belief system. When you continue to fight it's too expensive with people, you're just throwing mud back at them without finding out what is the core issue underlying that in their life, and attack the core issue instead of just fighting the expensive thing. Hopefully this is helping all of you. So I believe it's not your issue that it's too expensive. You're just having a hard time contradicting it because you're not getting, and I'm suggesting you get to the core of where the problem is in their life so that you can change. What you're trying to do is you're trying to correct their belief system around what this is about, the paradigm shift they need to make. And are you going to be successful all the time with that? No. But you know what? That's okay. But you're never going to be resoundingly successful if you just throw mud at the expense issue instead of finding out inside of them where is the core problem. What's the principle that's missing? It could be many different things. For people on fixed budgets who have huge hospital bills and they're trying to pay those off, wow, I can respond to that so easily it's not even funny. It's because it's called, you're in this cycle. Do you ever see yourself getting out of it? And they'll look at you and they'll just be very sad and say no. I said, what happens 6 months from now when you're back in the hospital again? And they go, I can't even afford to even think about that, Mary Jo. And I said, that's why you need to do this. Because you got to take responsibility for your health so that you're reducing the probability or possibility that's going to happen. That's the only way you're going to tackle this. Yep, amen. Yeah, somebody else had a question. Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. You bet. Yep. Sure, because even the people that you're talking to, when you say, Mary Jo, these people that need $200 or $300 worth of product, is one tub of Ambritos better than where they are today? Thank you. But see, what you're trying to do is when you start putting $300 and $400 on somebody's lap, you're trying to affect a result in their life in the next 2 to 3 months. What I'm going to suggest to you is that one tub of Ambritos a month is always going to be better for them, no matter what. Even if, you can say, well, but Mary Jo, for that condition, I like to get, well, you know what? So what? One tub of Ambritos a month is going to serve them in a major way. They may not get the results you want for them, but this business isn't always about, it's about what we're trying to do is help the cellular level. If we can support the cells being healthier, then let the body do its own thing. So let's deal with that concept and not always try to have a formula that has to be applied in each and every situation. Is that helpful? Yeah. Mm-hmm. ask questions. I just ask questions. When people say something about expensive, I'll say, what do you mean by that? I first ask, what do they mean by it? And they go, well, you know, I'm in a fixed income. And I say, well, what's burdening you, or how are you spending your money today? And I'll just ask them questions. People really, it's interesting how much they love to talk about themselves. They typically won't get offended by those questions because people love to talk about themselves. And if you come from heart, if you show that you're only asking the questions because you totally care about them, now they'll let you ask any question you want. They'll love it because let's come from solution. Let's see if we can come from solution. You become the problem solver in their lives. Does that make some sense? If you can solve some problems in their lives, they're going to listen to you forever. So you're there to be a problem solver. They'd look at you when you're trying to just make them spend more money that you're just adding to an already existing problem. Does everybody agree with that? You get it? And you're trying to say, so how do you paint yourself in a picture that you're a problem solver? That's what you're going to be doing. But you can't be a problem solver until you find out what the core of the problem is for them. What is it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And Linda, you're doing a great job because what you're doing is you're getting them to all you're doing is changing the focus of the conversation. You're getting the focus on issues, their problems, so that you can now say, and here's a solution, right? Because people sometimes they don't want to stare at their problems, but if you can help them, you know, focus on their problems and what they need to change, then they're going to be more open to solution because they have to get a realistic look at their problems, and that's what you're doing by asking them what are the three main goals you have for your own health. Amen. Great approach. Everybody get that. Linda's got some great insight there. Ask people that question so that they isolate because now they have a problem they're addressing. And you have a solution for that problem. Okay. Great. Let's go on. Let me get through this. The fifth, yeah, the number five on the outline is, so how do we create? We have all these limiting beliefs. So how do we create empowering beliefs and get rid of limiting beliefs? I just went through kind of a four-step process in here, I believe, that kind of gets you through how to do it. Number one is awareness. You got to be aware that those limiting beliefs are there and that they're not serving you. So a triggering device to find your limiting beliefs. Our number one, anytime you find yourself in a bad emotional state, in other words, if you're angry or frustrated in any kind of setting, I want you to stop immediately and go, Mary Jo said this is a red flag. I need to stop and analyze what triggered this. And that'll open up the door to finding limiting beliefs in yourself. Whenever you feel emotional stress or you can find yourself in a bad emotional state, anger, frustration, those negative emotions. The other thing is doubt. Whenever doubt enters your head, the doubt is coming from a limiting belief, people. The minute you doubt yourself or doubt something, boy, it's a limiting belief. Stop and go, okay, what is that? And start looking at yourself and saying, what is it that's causing me to doubt that? And dig deep and find out what that is inside of you. It's one of your limiting beliefs. But you have to be aware of it. Don't just dismiss doubt. Look at it, analyze it, find what the limiting belief is so you can replace it. What you're trying to do is relieve your limiting beliefs. Get rid of them because, again, beliefs are choices. They're just choices you make. You choose what you believe. Uh-huh. Amen. And that's going to help you go out and approach more people, isn't it? Because what you're looking at it now, and that's so true. We look at it as we're intruding on people's lives. That's the average associate. They don't want people not to like them, and they don't. You know, they have all this stuff. You know, I need to be liked. That's a limiting belief too. You know, but we do all this stuff, and that's why we don't approach people. But now you have the exact opposite. The concept is never deny a person the ability of chain wellness. And if you don't share, what are you doing? You're denying that person. Amen. Well, that's how I look at it, because I always tell people, I walk in a restaurant and I see some people and I'm going, you know, God put them in my path, and am I going to, you know, shirk my responsibility to him? are you kidding me? You know, it's like it becomes an obligation. So, you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of my whole mission, my purpose on earth. So I'm not going to do it. I don't have a choice. It's not about choosing not to do it. It's about stepping into it. Okay, step two, awareness is huge. Okay, so step two is replacing the limiting belief with an empowering belief. So every time you come up with a limiting belief, you have to look at what's the opposite. How do I do that? Like if you have the idea, why can I not approach people? Don't ask that question because that's a negative question. It's like, why am I so fat? Don't ask yourself negative questions. Ask yourself questions that are going to bring to you some real positive possibility or positive possibility answers, elicit positive possibility answers. That's what you're looking for. So instead of asking, you know, why can I not approach people, rephrase your question to yourself and say, what do I need to do to really love approaching people? Now you see the difference in those two questions. One's analyzing your negatives. The other one is finding positives. One's coming from solution. The other's dwelling in the problem. Let's come from solution. What do I need to do to love to approach people? Come with positive solutions, possibilities, positive possibilities. That's what you need to do is start asking those kind of questions. So look at the kind of questions you ask yourself and start rephrasing. Whoa, I didn't make it through. So again, we need to ask questions that elicit positive possibility answers instead of negative answers. When you talk about approaching people, I'll just give you some insight I came to that because a lot of us come into this business and we have a lot of judgment or opinions or attitudes about people, and we tend to have prejudgments when we see people. They look a different way, they wear their hair funny, they might be a little disheveled, and right away we come from a judgment perspective. And I'm going to suggest you what I came up with for me, which was so impactful, and it wasn't really by me searching for it. It was the introduction to it through some self-development classes where I found every single individual on the face of the earth has a very different background than I have. So that means every single individual has different attitudes, opinions, and judgments that have developed in their lives from the experiences they have. So I look at the picture in this way, that there's not a person on the face of the earth that doesn't have something to offer me. So if every single person has something to offer me, that's a new belief I put into my head because it became a reality for me while going through that self-development. And because of that reality, now what I've done is I've been able to open myself to look at every single person. Because of that belief system, I now open myself to every person I come across as somebody that has something to offer me, and I'm willing to share with anybody, no matter what they look like. Step three is flood the subconscious with positive. So if you get that, it's really just a numbers game. We have certain negative belief systems, and we just need to overwhelm them with positive. And that's an important thing to do, because this is a numbers game. The more good, then the less bad can fill up that spot. So what you're doing is like that can of paint. If you put one little dot of black in it, it turns it all to a gray hue. Well, the only way to overcome that is more and more white to overwhelm the black, to knock out the darkness. So we need to overweigh the bad thoughts and the bad beliefs with the good. Affirmations and visualizations are terrific in this arena, and that's why I promote them so much in my pathway class and in other classes. Positive talk on a regular basis is always superb. In fact, I have a great book out there that I highly recommend to everybody, What to Say to Yourself When You Talk to Yourself. Shad Helmstetter is the author, H-E-L-M-S-T-E-T-T-E-R, Shad Helmstetter. It's a great book because we have to change that self-talk. Negative self-talk just keeps feeding what? Those negative belief systems. So you've got to stop and stop now. Stop the cycle you're in, people, and make better choices. Positive talk on a repetitive basis allows us, by choice, to control the way we think. And then finally, step four is the concept I spoke on earlier. You've got to get rid of the lie. We all live this world with this big, fat lie in our heads. There are many of them, but this one is a big one and something we all need to overwhelmingly rid ourselves of. What is the lie? Positive thoughts and feelings are the result of positive results. I'm going to tell you that's not true. That is a big lie. We can choose positive thoughts and feelings every day of our life, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what situations we find ourselves in. When you choose into positive thoughts and positive feelings, that is what actually creates your results. So you're just looking at it backwards. Positive thoughts and feelings create positive results, not a result of positive results. So straighten that little lie up in your life and watch your life change dramatically from that. Choose differently. Your beliefs are your choices. Put them in your brain, put them in your subconscious in a fashion that's only going to serve you moving forward. Thanks, everybody. Great talk. Talk to you next week.